Welcome to the Essential Skills for Humaning podcast, where we explore the fundamental abilities and insights that make us better humans. Here's your host, Christina Eanes.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this week's episode of Essential Skills for Humaning. I'm your host, Christina Eanes, and for today's episode, Paul Zak has joined us to share his wisdom on emotional fitness. Welcome, Zach.
Yeah, that's all right. I go both ways. Zach works.
Welcome, Paul.
Either way. So nice to be back with you. And I love the topic of your podcast.
Well, thank you. Well, and before we get into emotional literacy, can you share a little bit about your background with the listeners and viewers?
Sure. I'm a behavioral neuroscientist. I'm a professor at Claremont Graduate University in Southern California. And a four-time tech entrepreneur, founder of a company called Immersion Neuroscience that let anybody measure what the brain loves in real time by applying algorithms to data we pull from smartwatches.
Awesome. And a TED Talker extraordinaire.
Five or six now, author.
Yeah. Yep.
Right. Yeah, I got three books, a new one right there called Immersion. So
yep.
Immersion is my thing. So we can talk about what immersion is and go any place you'd like to go.
Awesome. Yeah, actually just finished your book last week, the Immersion one. Yeah, yeah. So we will make sure and put all those resources in the show notes.
Thank you.
But before, let's jump into emotional literacy. So what do our viewers and listeners need to know about it in general before we dive further in?
So I'm just going to step back one step and ask, what can individuals do to extend their health span? So health span is people living healthier as long as possible, right? And really means also happier. Health and happiness run together. Yeah. So four major components that you can control. There's also things you can't control, your genes, right? So you can't control that. But the things you can control that make a difference are sleep, exercise, diet, all actually easily to be measured, and having a rich social life. So what is rich social life? How rich is their social life, Christina? I don't know. Like compared to what? And so, as you know, in my lab, I've been working the last 20 years or so to characterize the brain basis for social connection, or I should say social emotional connection. And so that could be with our friends, on a podcast with you, with my dog, watching a movie. That's all social emotional connection from the brain's perspective. And being able to quantify this allows us to have goals to build up our emotional fitness so that we gain the benefit of this. So just for listeners, having a rich social life is more important to extending health span than is quitting smoking.
Ooh.
Please don't smoke, but still.
Yeah.
It's really, really important. The Surgeon General a couple of months ago put out a report that said about 1/3 of Americans are lonely. That is defined as they can't have someone they can call at any moment to talk to them. A third of Americans, that's really bad for social creatures. This is like being kept in solitary confinement if you're a prisoner. It's very stressful.
Yeah. So knowledge, well, first of all, we need to be, one, aware of our emotions. Emotionally literate in order to be emotionally fit. And part of that is, I love that you're bringing in the social aspect, because usually we just think of the self-care items, you know, of the sleep and that stuff. Now, I know part of connecting with folks socially is that little hormone that you identified. Especially you talk about it in your book, Immersion.
So we're not talking about hormones.
Neurochemical.
Neurochemical. That's all right. So most neurochemicals are both work in the brain and the body. So in the body, we call them hormones. In the brain, they're working faster. They're neurochemicals. The kind of basis for social connection driven by two core neurochemicals, dopamine and oxytocin, that have an interesting dance with each other and appear to quantify the value we get from social emotional experiences. So again, it took me a long time to figure this out, and you know, it's all in the book and in published research. But once we know what this is, and we can find the electrical activity that these neurochemicals induce, then we have a measurement tool, or we've made a measurement tool. And so now I can say, oh, you know, last month my emotional fitness was, 22. And this month is 47. Hey, I'm going the right direction, right? So once we have that goal, just like steps. So I think of emotional fitness as steps for the 21st century.
Yeah. Well, and a big part of that is immersion. So can you share a little bit about immersion?
Sure. So immersion is the name for a neurologic state, again, driven by dopamine and oxytocin, that by all we can tell appears to be the brain's evaluation mechanism for social emotional experiences. Mm-hmm. So again, that could be watching a movie, seeing an ad. So this was developed with funding from the U.S. Department of Defense and other agencies in that realm that funded us to identify combinations of signals in the brain that would accurately and consistently predict what people would do after a message or an experience. So it turns out, as you know, Christina, the brain's a very lazy, lazy organ.
Yes.
That's a leitmotif of the book, right? So basically, the brain and body wants to save energy. So when we see this neurologic state of immersion, it's a metabolic investment in mm-hmm. processing the experience I'm having. So the brain is saying, oh, this is really valuable to me. And it's those valuable experiences that induce us to take an action afterwards, right? So, by trying to understand how to influence people's behavior, which is what the DoD wanted to train soldiers to do, using words rather than weapons, so I'm happy to help with that. Yeah. We incidentally discovered how the brain appears to value these social emotional experiences. And again, if you're not here and I'm drinking my glass of water, not an immersive experience. That's just a kind of pure maintenance. But talking to you, I'm actually getting, you know, a lot of value from this. At least I am. I hope you are too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, of course, see, it's hard because I've read the book, I've watched your TED Talk, and your other Trust Factor as well. That is the title, right? Did I remember it correctly?
Very good.
Yes, yes. So people have to read that. So I'm trying to remember back before I read it and ask those questions that, you know, someone who hadn't had access to that information yet. But I know just a couple of things that, one that I found really fascinating. One, I love that you're taking work that was originally for DoD and bringing it to the masses and how it's able to, we learn to use our powers for good, if you will. I also love the fact on immersion, how it leads to our emotional fitness. And I did have a question about a mentor of yours created flow, or not created flow, you know, identified flow and put some parameters around that. Mm-hmm. How does immersion relate to flow?
Yeah. So Mike Csikszentmihalyi was a colleague of mine at Claremont, not a mentor. He's
Me.
That's all right. He was a colleague and recently passed away. Wonderful, wonderful human being. And so Mike invented this term flow, which is a self-reported psychological phenomenon in which you are deeply engaged in an experience. It's an active task. And it generates pleasure. You tend to lose time. And so it was one of the kind of founding insights in an area called positive psychology about the psychology of optimal experiences. And anyway, Mike was lovely and wonderful and was a great colleague for many years. So there is some overlap between immersion and flow and some differences. So I think the overlap mm-hmm. is there's a very strong relationship between this kind of self-reported, think of, you know, doing a great downhill ski run or, you know, whatever kind of a sport, like you can't think about it. If you think about it, you're going to screw up, or playing tennis, mm-hmm. whatever it is. Right. So you're like in the moment, you're really present. And so the dopaminergic part of immersion is that presence. I've got to be fully and consciously present. And then I've got to get value from that. That's the oxytocin part of it. So that's the overlap. The difference is that flow is based on self-report. So we don't report our unconscious emotional states very effectively, number one. And number two, we can get immersed. I can be immersed in something that's completely passive, which is not the way flow is traditionally characterized. So I can watch a movie and be completely immersed. You know, one of the examples in the book, as you know, Christina, is, you know, crying in a movie, which neurologically is super weird if you think about it, except for social creatures that share each other's emotions. I think they're quite similar. I don't want to say that immersion is the neurologic basis for flow, but I think because there are some differences, but I think they're closely related. That's a great question.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, and now that I remember, as we were talking, it's Stefan Falk is the one who was, he mentioned, he's also on the podcast for Intrinsic Motivation. He mentioned, I'll call him Mike as a mentor. So I love that really helps clarify that for me. And I also love that you came up with a way to to measure this. And I do want to get, you've created an app, which I want to get to that very soon, to help measure emotional fitness and immersion and psychological safety and how that intersects. Yeah. But before we get to the app, is there any kind of takeaways people can have today? Let's say they don't access the app. What are some ways that we can really focus on our emotional fitness and including more immersion in our lives?
I think the most interesting paradox on extending health span is, even if you're the most selfish person ever, I just want to live longer and healthier.
Yeah.
You have to invest in relationships, right? Yes. And how do you do that? You have to be of service to other people. You have to, right? I can't just take and get that social interaction. Mm-hmm. Someone has to give that to me, right? If I'm always a taker, like in a romantic relationship, we probably all had these relationships where you're like giving, you get nothing back. And you're like, man, this is not really very balanced. So, Christina, you know me a little bit, and I'm a big introvert. I can spend 12 hours in my lab by myself and be completely happy. But even based on my own research, I said, man, I have to actually invest in relationships. And now I have. So that means I call people up. I make an opportunity to do sports with them, or go to happy hour, or go to dinner. So I'm investing my time and energy to connect to individuals, because then they connect to me, right? So again, I'm not saying I'm a selfish person, but even a selfish person has to be a giver to get the benefit of social relationships. And so we've got to make it a priority. And I think, you know, one reason that we made the app free for individuals is because we think it's so important that we want to make sure everybody gets this benefit. Because again, talking about it and doing it are different things. So a concrete example. Yeah. So I'm 60 now. I turned 50 10 years ago. I had 4 surprise birthday parties.
Wow. Well,
not because I'm so wonderful, honestly, but because I invested in all these relationships, and people are like, oh, it's a big birthday. And, you know, I was doing this and that and working, and all of a sudden people having birthday parties for me. So again, I think that's a good sign that I've done a good job at investing in relationships. Again, not that I'm super wonderful or whatever. And so that's what we'd like to see. Or conversely, I think of this as having 2 or 3, what I call 3 a.m. friends. You know, that person you can call at 3 a.m. and go, I'm having a crisis. I need you to come to my house now. Like, if you have a couple of those people in your life, outside family, right? Family, they sort of have to help you, hopefully. you know, your life is very, very rich. Or like, you're old enough like me, Christina, where you have these dear friends you've had for years. I was on the Zoom with a friend yesterday, and I'm like, this is a guy friend that I've known forever. I'm like, Steve, I love you. I'm like, I love you too, man. Like, how nice is that, that there are people that you love, you know, that you really care about. I'm like, I would do anything for Steve, like whatever he wants. I said that I was on Zoom with a third person. I'm like, anything he asked me to do, I'm going to do without asking. Like, a great human being, like a brother to me, like whatever it takes, I'm just going to do it, because this guy's kind of joined my family, or I joined his family, or whatever it is.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. So building relationships. And what I'm also hearing is creating moments of connection. Yeah. Like in your TED talk, you hugged someone.
Yeah, intentionally.
Which I love. Yes.
Right, exactly right. Intentionally building those moments of connection, as opposed to kind of what we do now, which is sort of randomly hope and whatever. So I just was thinking yesterday, I think every day I will try to tell one person in my life that I love them. Like, that seems like a reasonable goal. I'm always doing experiments with myself, by the way. So could be friends, could be family members, but how about one I love you to someone every day? Like, if I can do that, I think I'm doing okay in life.
There you go. And fur babies.
Yeah, there you go. Dogs. We have talked a bit about dogs in the book as well. And so I closed the door, so my dog is not with me here. But so I think for listeners who maybe are a little bit lonely, who don't feel like they have a person they can say I love you to every day, this brain system is very, very evolutionarily old. And so it responds to dogs, to cats, to movies, to watching ads. I mean, it's amazing that, I'm sure you've had this experience too. Like, you watch like an ad on YouTube because you're waiting for your whatever to show. And then like, you start tearing up. Like, sometimes these ads are beautiful. They're emotional. They're, you know, okay, that's neurologic value. That's an immersive experience, right? So if you are lonely, Zooms are good. Right. Or video conferencing, whatever system you use. Phone calls are good. So we've shown that all those can be immersive experiences. Now, in person is better, more bandwidth, right? As you said, there's touch, there's hugs, there's smell, yes. actually. So smells activate this immersion connection system. So anyway, all that's important. Hey, walk, go to the mall. If you're going to, you know, do a half mile walk in the morning, go to the mall and see people. I go to the gym in the morning, and there's all these people like me, older people, who are in the gym every morning. I'm not a talker, but I say hi to, I don't know, said hi to 6-7 people this morning and shook hands with a couple of them, and great. That's emotional connection, right? It's not a powerful connection, but if I wanted to build a relationship with some of those people, I would. Actually, one of those guys at the gym has become a very good friend, and we do a lot of recreation together. And so, you know, you never know.
Yeah. So I make those connections with intention.
Yeah.
I love that. Now, we're going to take a quick break for a short commercial. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about the app.
Transform your organization with EANS Training. Our premier interpersonal skills training programs are tailored to enhance your organization's employees in communication, emotional intelligence, leadership, and more. We have a catalog of expert-led courses designed to meet the dynamic needs of today's workforce. With highly engaging in-person, hybrid, and remote sessions, we can help elevate your organization's performance and success. Learn more at EANSTraining.com.
Okay, we're back, and I would love to learn more about this app. Now, full disclosure, I have gotten it and played around, and I think it's really cool. So let's share with the listeners and viewers what they need to know about it.
Right. So it basically pulls data from the cranial nerve. Think of this as the brain's output file that passed through the heart. So we can use any old smartwatch fitness sensor and capture from these cranial nerves this immersion state that I've described that has a signature on these cranial nerves. And we apply algorithms to the cloud, lots of mathematics. And then you can see second by second how much value you're getting from experience. So there's my live feed. So that smile means a little more data value than baseline. Now I'm going back to baseline. Right now I'm a little frowny because I'm going back down. It'll go back up. And then the background was fall. And so that's my psychological safety. So one of the precursors for valuable social relationships is feeling comfortable around these other humans. So anytime they're humans together, we're going to have a little friction, right? So it's even with your family, even with people you love, you have some friction. That's okay. But if that friction is very high, it inhibits our ability to be immersed in that experience or in that person. And so we have a sort of 2x2 matrix that we show on the app, which is your psychological safety and your immersion. And it's really your peak immersion. How much of the experiences you're having? So we have experiences all the time. How much of those are really valuable to you that build up your emotional fitness? So I'm using this word emotional fitness and used it too, Christina. And I say that rather than wellness, because wellness sounds like a 0-1 variable, like you're well or unwell.
Yeah.
But just like you can build up your physical fitness, there's scientific literature showing that we can build up our emotional fitness. And we do that by having a little bit of stress, by doing things that are a little bit uncomfortable, connecting to others. So we don't want to stay in this bubble. I think there's a fetishization, if that's a word, in the wellness app world of avoiding stress. But stress is actually really good for you. Stress says, hey, this thing's important. Yeah. Put a bunch of metabolic energy into it. And so we don't want to avoid stress. We don't avoid chronic stress. Stress that won't go away, keeps you up at night. That's not good for you. But for most of us, we have episodic stress. And then, you know, we can turn back to baseline. So immersion is metabolically costly. It's your brain investing resources in the experience you're having. Like right now, I'm investing resources. My heart rate's up. I'm kind of warm, my metabolic rate's up because I'm putting energy into this experience because it's important and fun and I'm getting value from it. All those things, right? Fun because you're here. So, you know, so again, I think for listeners, chronic stress bad, but stress, right? If stress was bad, you would never go to the gym. You'd never take a walk. That's all physiologically stressful, right? So we want to have some emotional experiences that are maybe slightly uncomfortable. Maybe talking to that uncle or aunt or I don't know, someone in your life who's a little bit, you know, they have different political views or different, I don't know, social views or something. Anyway, so those kind of people, I think it's important to kind of build that up. And that emotional fitness means that I'm not fragile. I'm not, I'm able to take the kind of, you know, arrows that life's going to throw at me sometimes. And so I've got to kind of practice that.
I love that. Yeah. So the app shows us our level of psychological safety and our level of immersion. And then we're able to go look at that and see, oh, wow, I was really low at that point. What was going on? Ooh, I was in a meeting with so-and-so during that time period. Right. Or, wow, it was really high during this point. What was I doing? Oh, I was doing that. Okay, how can I do more of that in my life?
Bingo.
So it's a great learning tool.
Yeah. So you can begin to curate your life for better happiness, right? And again, if you're tired or hungry or have to pee, that's going to pull bandwidth from your brain. And so you're going to be less immersed in general. But if you know, Christina, you're wonderful. But if my daughter walks in the room, my immersion is going to go way up. It's just one of those things. Yep. So we're kind of an index of the value of that experience. But just if I happen to have low immersion with you, which I don't, because I just showed you my data, doesn't mean I don't like you. It just means for some reason, this experience is not working for me right now. So I don't want people to get overly focused on one observation, right? Think of this sort of scientifically. Right. We'll see lots of data patterns. And then, look at the patterns. Yeah. Exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think it also helps with more, introspection, with internal awareness of what's going on with your body.
Yeah. These are our signals that are deep in the brainstem. And so if I ask you, what kind of emotional experience you're having, it's very hard to articulate that in any reasonable way, because compared to what? Like, I don't know, compared to my kids, my dog, I mean, I don't really know. But, we have these signals in the brain. So 99% of brain activity is unconscious. And so most of these emotional responses are unconscious, except for the real extreme ones. Super love, super hate.
Yeah.
We kind of know that. But, is this a 3 or a 5 or a 7? It's not anchored to anything, but brain activity, the firing of neurons in the brain, is the common currency of valuation for any kind of experience. So once we capture that activity, we have an objective, continuous, and passive measure that tells us about value. So anyway, I'm sorry, I'm droning on and on and on, but I think it's so valuable that we build up our emotional fitness. As you said, we have insight into our unconscious emotional states, and we intentionally build those relationships whenever possible.
Yeah. Well, and it's huge, like you said, the more disconnected we are, it's just as bad as a sedentary lifestyle or smoking. We really need to connect with others. That's something it took me a while to learn. Maybe when we're younger, certain personality types, we are like, I don't need anyone. I could do this. Right. But no, we do need people. I think a lot of people learned over the last few years, especially with everything that was going on, that we really do need others. And I love that you've essentially quantified that and showed that we absolutely do with our neurochemicals.
Yeah. And think of I'm always thinking of little exercise. Again, I'm a big introvert and I'm a little bit self-conscious. You can't tell right now, but it's not my nature to go out and just go to a party and meet everybody. I mean, I can, but it's just, I'd rather not. I started just for fun some years ago, talking to people in elevators just to see what would happen. And it is fascinating. If people are listening, want to try this, about half the people are freaked out, which somehow makes me happy. And the other half, you have this nice little 20 or 30 second, like in a hotel or something, right? Like, where are you guys coming in from? Oh, Kansas City. Oh, I was in Kansas City last week. Oh, I had so much fun time. I had barbecue, whatever. And then you have this nice little mini conversation. And right, there's other humans in this box with you. Why do we pretend like there's not another person there? Yeah. So again, I think it's leaning into our social nature and really understanding it. And again, for people who maybe don't have that skill or that motivation, we've shown that dogs are the best pets. Mm-hmm. And dogs apparently kind of train us to be more social. So having said that, you can actually, like I do, you can talk to your dog when you're on a walk and not be a crazy person. So I talk to my dog all the time. We don't have a continuous conversation. We're like, do you want to go left or right? And he'll go some direction. So, it's not completely crazy. Maybe it is. Who knows?
I talk to my cats all the time. Every day. There was one other thing too. What was it? I lost it. Oh, something else I wanted to ask about.
Look how smiley I am. Gosh.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, it's going up.
I love it. That was the thing. So, of course, we want to, the app is called Tuesday. And it's available on the Apple Store as well as Google, right?
Apple Store, we're working on the Android version now. So by the time this comes out, probably end of February or so, we're working on it currently. Wow. And that's version one that you have, and version two is going to be both Apple and Google. So everyone can use it. It's free. We're device agnostic. Fitness sensors, Whoop, Apple Watch, Galaxy Watch, all that is supported. So now we have a business, and companies, corporate wellness programs, and health insurers use these data to incentivize people to get that emotional fitness or build it up. And so they pay for the data. But for individual users, we really made a decision that this is that important. We want to make it free, and people get value from it. That will be wonderful. So
nice.
Helping the humans, Christina, as we said earlier, you and me, it's all we do.
I love it. Now, speaking of business, let's do like a 60 second to 2 minute commercial on all your services or products that you'd like people to know about.
Oh, how nice. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, the core website, for Immersion Neuroscience, which is, I think, the first software as a service company, is getimmersion.com, Immersion with an I. We have a product for measuring marketing materials to improve them. We have a measurement for live experiences, primarily corporate training events, that is used very heavily. And then Tuesday, our emotional fitness app, you can get all the information there. Lots of stuff I've written, scientific papers. And if you're listening to this, you must be awesome. And so you can connect to me at getimmersion.com. Happy to interact with anybody who's listening.
Awesome. And we will put links to all of that in the episode description, as well as TED Talks, books, all of that stuff. They need to know. They need to know.
Sharing. That's what we do.
There we go. And so now, before we close out, is there a final piece of advice you have for our viewers or listeners?
I think it's if you're more of a quiet person or a shy person like me, I think it's pushing yourself to find one or two people at work who could be your best friend. Famous Gallup finding that, job satisfaction is highest when you have a best friend at work. So at work, sometimes we have best friends. It's very natural to form friendships at work. But find that one best friend. I think do it intentionally. It's kind of weird when you're an adult to think about having a best friend,
Will you best be my friend?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But, I think, again, it's investing in relationships. So the guy I met at the gym years ago, we would talk, and this guy was an Ironman finisher. I mean, super athlete, like better athlete than me. And so we start talking about sports and athletics. And then it turned out we do a lot of the same sports. And I'm like, hey, you ever want to work out? Like we did run in the country. And he's like, oh yeah, let's do that. And we became friends. We have coffee, and then we fed some other people, and we made a little group. And so, I think it's, again, for me, it's being intentional, because it's not my nature to go and seek those relationships. So just find one person that, you like hanging out with. And for me, it's like once a week. So I'm doing this every day. Right. So, intentionally. Also, I started thinking, Christina, about lunch. Isn't it nice when you have friends or dinner and you can just buy them the lunch or dinner? And I started thinking, why does it have to even out? I don't care. I had dinner with one of my best friends last night, who's a psychiatrist. I'm sure he makes three times as much money. And I took him to dinner. And he's like, oh, I'll pay. I'm like, nah, I love you. I'm good. Again, I'm back to I love you. Guy friend. Uh-huh. And I'm like, I love you. I'm happy to pay for it. It doesn't have to even out. It doesn't.
Yeah.
How blessed are we
that we get so much from the giving.
Yeah. And this guy has been, he has been the 3 a.m. friend. Honestly, I've actually called him maybe at midnight. I've called him and saying, I was having a crisis at one point. I won't go through it all, but my family was having a crisis. And I called him up and I'm like, I'm starting to wake you. I really need help. And I know it's unfair, but I'm going to ask you anyway. So again, this guy really, really helped my family. And gosh, spending whatever, $100 for dinner, who cares?
Yeah.
Cheap investment.
Oh, I love it.
In happiness. Yeah. So anyway, take someone to lunch. How about that?
I love it. Yeah, I love it. So awesome wisdom today. We've heard lots of things, like make sure and deepen some of those connections that we have, so that we have those 3 a.m. friends. I love that. I'm going to steal that from you.
Of course. Do it.
As well as making those intentional, maybe daily mini connections, with folks, like a smile or a conversation on the elevator.
Text message.
Of course, there we go. Text message. And of course, we need to download the Tuesday app so that we can check and see our data and reflect on it and look for patterns and all that good stuff.
There you go. Oh. Live a happier life. Well, Christina, you are wonderful. Thank you so much. What a pleasure to be back talking to you. And, you know, I'm a big fan of yours. So thank you for great opportunity.
Oh, thank you. All right, folks. Thanks for joining us today. And we'll see you in the next episode.
Thank you for tuning in to the Essential Skills for Humaning podcast. We hope you've gained valuable insights to enhance your journey as a human being. Remember, practice makes progress. Keep honing those essential skills. And until next time, keep being the best version of yourself. For more resources, visit eanstraining.com.